Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
God is more diverse than we could ever wrap our minds around, and we know that God's created all human beings in the image of God.
Heather Avis on Focus on the Family Minute.
And so we have an opportunity to know God more fully, to have a better appreciation of what it means to be human and the fullness of humanity, only if we intentionally step into spaces with all the different kinds of humans. Yeah. If we're going to choose to stay in a space that is very much safe and like us, or where we're around people who are like us in a very homogeneous space, then we're going to miss out on the fullness of God. And that's just the truth. That's just the truth. And we have opportunities all around us to step into spaces with people who are different than us in an intentional way. Is it going to be messy? Of course. Is it going to be hard? Yes. Is hard bad? No, not always. Mm. And so it's willing to take those steps into the hard spaces, the messy spaces, where that's where Jesus is hanging out, where you're really going to get to know God.
More from Heather at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
Hey there, glad you could make it. Come on in.
Wow, your kitchen looks amazing. So does your whole house.
Thanks. We just had our cabinets refinished by Peek Painting. They did such a fantastic job, we had them come back and paint our whole living area.
I guess you could say they have your stamp of approval.
Yes, sir. Just like everyone else on Google and Yelp. Booking a quote is easy. Just go to peekpainting.com. That's P-E-E-K painting.com. And book a time and day that fits your schedule. No back and forth phone tag. Just click and book.
Sounds too easy.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Welcome to the endless possibilities of freedom. For three decades, Chumash Casino Resort has been focused on providing guests with a stress-free destination getaway where you can simply play your way. In celebration of our 30th anniversary, we invite you to become a member of the club with a special offer of $30 in slot free play when you join. Welcome to freedom.
Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Susanna Luthi with Free Talk California. So glad to be back on this hot day. Hope you're all staying cool. We're going to do things a little differently today. My guest is Morna Desmond, who is a friend I made through journalism. She is a lifelong Californian, native Californian as well, from the South County. And she was never politically involved until about last year. And now she's an up-and-coming, I would call her an up-and-coming political consultant. And she has garnered some tremendous insights into how California politics works. She is working, helping Yvette Corcoran right now with her campaign on communications. And I think we will have a wonderful discussion. So she will be joining us right now. Welcome, Morna.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Free Talk California.
Wonderful to be here.
I just introduced you to our listeners as a political consultant, an up-and-coming political consultant. And I just want to kind of dive into our where we stand now, 30 days out from the election, both in California and nationally. And I kind of want to focus, particularly with a new hurricane hitting the Gulf Coast, focus on the hurricane, which to me should be the defining story about the presidential election. It certainly has broken my heart, the images. It's also extremely frustrating that it's very difficult to know exactly what's going on. We have so many videos of people talking about how FEMA seems to be at times undermining local people who are trying to help with the relief. And that gets framed as misinformation by the powers that be. But again, it's very difficult to know what's going on. But let's focus on what we do know and just kind of dive into how we as a country should respond and what we think this looks like politically. So first of all, we have the DHS Secretary Mayorkas, who is overseeing FEMA, saying last week that they don't have enough funding to get them through hurricane season. And then we have the fact that FEMA has, openly kind of become a migrant resettling agency more than a disaster response agency for Americans. Most of their budget seems to be going into hotel rooms and cash and other amenities for undocumented illegal immigrants. I think the number this year was $640 million have gone to that when I checked this morning.
So crazy.
So what are your thoughts? How have you been responding to this yourself? Because it's very hard as an American to watch this going on the other side of the country and watch our government and our fellow Americans suffering.
I mean, thank you, Susanna. Yeah, absolutely. The emotional aspect of what's going on in North Carolina, it's hard to process. A little bit like, in my lifetime, this idea of foreign wars, I kind of feel like what's going on in North Carolina feels a little bit like Afghanistan, even though I actually have family in North Carolina, but they're in Raleigh. So they also are getting information that we're getting. I mean, they know people who know people, but what I would say is for me, I just feel like the fog of war, it feels like we're guessing at what's true. And depending on which tribe you belong to, because I think we've really devolved into tribes in the U.S., it feels like red and blue, and there's not much crossover in the Venn diagram. And I see people on the left criticizing what they call MAGA people, or saying, the federal government's not doing enough. And on the flip side, you're seeing people who are just, apolitical families and different individuals. And I'm sort of exposing my bias as a conservative individual in 2024, they're being cast as MAGA. And it's like, no, they're reporting from their home that's been devastated. So that's what I find remarkable at the national level, is the fog of war regarding this North Carolina issue. And, prior to this, Mayorkas is sort of where he is, there's the fog of war. So like with the border, it was, it felt like July 2024, the Biden administration was saying the border is safe. So I feel like that's what's interesting.
You're so right. I didn't even think of that connection, but you can definitely see the similarities between the border crisis and this crisis, where it's all gaslighting to any critics. Nothing's wrong. And then, but you're seeing real footage of, millions of people coming in, overcrowded hotels, people on the street in New York, small towns overrun with influxes of people, social services drained. I mean, every resident of the neighborhoods, they're overwhelmed, very upset. And yeah, all of that is gaslighting, very similar.
And that's why I say the fog of war, because, if you ask someone on one side of the war, they're going to have a completely different perspective of who the bad guys are and the good guys. And I had this thing today thinking to myself, you know, if I had a helicopter a federal helicopter came down, a Chinook came down and got close enough. I don't know if you saw this. It did about $100,000 worth of damage, and it was widely videoed. There's been tons of different accounts from different people, and it looks like sabotage. It could have been an accident, right? Hanlon's razor, never mistake for malice with what can be explained with stupidity. But, you know, there's a point where you have gross neglect and you have to be held accountable. But I was thinking to myself, is this what it feels like when you're in a foreign country and the U.S. government, the CIA, is like, we're taking your land, we're taking your oil, this isn't yours anymore, move. Like, it feels like I'm the Afghanistan, you know, the resident, the citizen of a foreign country, and I don't want the U.S. government, the U.S. government's not on my side. That's the kind of sentiment I'm actually experiencing of, is this what it's like?
Right. Right. I was thinking more in lines of, in my own head, is this what it's like when you are in a government like the Soviet Union where they actively hate their people and want to kill them? I mean, that's just emotionally what it feels like.
I'm in the exact same line of thinking, because the idea is when it's like, it's this government will, if you will, like the will, it's not the will of the people. It's this like CIA, FBI, military that doesn't care if your family has been in this town in, you know, Iraq for 500 years. You need to move because we're going to take the next square miles for 20 years and it's American now. That is, it's not dissimilar to I hate you. And I think in the sense that, you know, when your life has no value, and it's just the will, like I'm using the word will in this very like political philosophy type way, where it's like, if you aren't in alignment with what the federal government wants, I think perhaps today you're kind of an enemy of the state. And, yeah, it's very dramatic and very strange. It feels like the fog of war. And in contrast, I feel like in California, you know, the only proposition, to segue back to your earlier sort of question that you posed, I feel like I was telling my parents what propositions to vote for, and I just said no to everything except 36, and you guys are good. We don't even have to get into details.
Right. No, you don't. Everything else raises taxes.
Exactly. Yep. Everything else against your best interest, and the supermajority uniparty has pushed it through. So just vote yes on 36, and we're seeing actually, we have great intel that it's extremely popular, approaching 80% to, you know, increase the police's ability to, you know, create public safety. And that's in a pretty deep blue state, which might not be as deep blue as it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Right.
So we don't have great information, because the California GOP is just so, it's kind of a ghost, and it doesn't seem to collect information. It doesn't seem to disseminate information, doesn't seem to mobilize candidates. So the conservative movement, really moderate conservative movement in California, is pretty invisible.
But yeah, we'll jump to California next. But I do really quick, because this was just amazing on the storm front, on the Mayorkas front. My colleague Joe Simonson from the Washington Free Beacon, he was in a luxury clothes store in Georgetown on Saturday, and he happened to see strolling by Alejandro Mayorkas shopping with some security guards, and he snapped a photo, and he ended up writing a story, which Elon Musk read and responded to, saying he's shopping for fancy clothes while people are suffering from hurricane damage. This is some Hunger Games, S-H-I-T, if I can say that, Hunger Games stuff. But there you go again. I mean, that's more, it's so blatant. This again should be the defining issue for the election, because it's showing this administration's inability to govern and help its own people, in a biblical level catastrophe, and yet the head of the response is shopping for fancy clothes in Georgetown, and nobody on the other side in their camp seems to care. I don't remember seeing anything quite like it.
Well, it's like the, I've been telling people, you know, that thing when we were kids, it was a little thing you do with your hands, and it's like you, look at the church, look at the steeple, open the doors and look at the people. I've been joking with people in the last week that all the stuff they've been denying, or, you know, Zelensky's always in his like war workout gear. You know, there was like this emphasis on the charade for the last 4 years, right? And I feel like the charade, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. There's a lot more in plain sight. And so I think that what's going on in North Carolina is tragic, but what it's really signaling is that I just don't think that the federal government is particularly concerned with what voters think. And I think juxtaposing it with, like, when you think about Lahaina or East Palestine or Flint, Michigan, you know, they just didn't say anything, but now they're attacking people for being MAGA if they say, yeah, like, they're destroying the, like, emergency supplies. If you speak the truth, they're not going to stay silent like they did in Maui and East Palestine. They're actually going to attack you. So there is this up-leveling of, like, they're doing stuff in plain sight, but they're also attacking people who speak the truth. So there is something, the bizarreness hurricane has hit a new level.
Yes, there was a webinar with FEMA officers who just didn't seem to be at the top of the intellectual heap, let's say that. And they were talking about how LGBTQIA are so disadvantaged, and so you have to really worry about them first, and a disaster was kind of the upshot. And this is a direct quote from one of the FEMA officials, that the culture of disaster management is shifting from utilitarian principles, which means, according to her, the greatest good to the greatest number of people, to equity. But we have to do more. That was the most sinister quote I've ever heard. We do have a caller coming in. Welcome to Free Talk California. You're on the air. And we lost that caller. But yeah, that was incredibly sinister. And then the New York Times ran a story, a four byline story. Four people were on the story that was about, and apparently, according to my colleague, it was a top hit on Google when he was trying to figure out what was happening with the storm. And this, the top hit was this New York Times story about how misinformation is getting in the way of hurricane relief. And one of the bylines was the White House correspondent. So why would they have to have any input on a story about the hurricane? But yes, that was it. Here's the caller coming back. Welcome, you're on the air.
Sorry about that. Really quick, I just wanted to tie in. It's interesting, the front that's being put up on the other side, even last election during the primary. Just drop off your vote by mail. It's the same races. Oh, just drop it off right here, and giving no option to vote in person. I noticed that being a right-minded person working in a precinct that had a left inspector that was trying to greet people at the door to drop off the vote by mail. That was really a challenge. I know a lot of people got their ballots today too, so definitely folks should check the top of their ballot and find out where their precinct is and come see us on election day and surrender those.
So thanks for that call, actually, because I'm curious. So what happens? So you have to surrender the, if you want to vote in person, you have to surrender your vote by mail ballot first. Yes. Otherwise, you can't.
You surrender your vote by mail ballot when we give you a precinct ballot. The precinct ballots are signed for by you in the roster book, and they are counted same night of election. The vote by mail ballots have to be signature checked, and they are not necessarily counted the same day. They have to go through a much more rigorous process.
Okay, well, thanks for that.
Yeah, definitely people should come out and vote in person. It's highly recommended and helps our day go by quick, too.
I bet. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. That's another question that's come up with the storm. I mean, David Axelrod, the Democratic consultant, was on a podcast saying that the likely Democratic voters in the hurricane hit areas would probably be able to vote more readily than those who would vote Republican.
Yeah, that definitely seems to be something that's a reality that's unfolding. And I would love to see leadership to make sure that none of these victims are disenfranchised. I haven't heard a whisper of that so far.
Right. We are going to head in for a break to listen for messages from our sponsors shortly. But when we come back, I do really want to dive into California, what you mentioned about, is California as deep blue as we believe and we are told, and as our entrenched politicians would wish us to think. It's almost like, you know, do they want us all to think it's hopeless to vote? That's kind of been the feeling I think a lot of Republicans in the state have had for a while. And that does kind of seem to be shifting. I heard Nicole Shanahan, who was RFK Jr.'s running mate before he dropped out of the election for all intents and purposes. She was saying that internal polling, I think, had Trump at 40% in California, which is mind-boggling.
Wow.
Have you heard anything like that?
No. It's amazing. We're in such an interesting time. I hadn't heard that. It doesn't totally surprise me, because I think that the progressive experiment is in a kind of is frothy in California, meaning things have gone so sideways that 80% of people want Prop 36.
Right. After the break. We are about to go to break. Everyone stay tuned. We will be back shortly. Thank you.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
News, I'm Tom Rigotti. Hurricane Milton, now a Category 5 storm, is expected to make landfall on Florida's Gulf Coast this week. Manatee County Emergency Management Chief Matt Meyer says they're issuing evacuation orders to different areas in the region and are urging residents to leave as soon as possible.
Evacuate. Don't wait. Do it now. We're taking Milton very seriously as a Category 5 hurricane currently. This includes all mobile homes, manufactured homes, and RVs.
Milton could make landfall as early as Wednesday. Today marks a year since the terror group Hamas executed its surprise attack on Israel, killing over 1,200 people. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance.
We believe that the Jewish state has a right to exist, and Donald Trump and I will fight for that every single day when we're in the White House.
Around 100 people are still held hostage by Hamas, including some Americans. America's listening to Fox News.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and with me is Morta Desmond. We are going to be talking next about California. So you mentioned something I do want to talk about the California Republican Party. You called them a ghost. Can you explain a little bit more what you mean?
Well, you know, I think for people who want to get the conservative movement more organized and mobilized, there are theories abound about why the California GOP just doesn't seem to be visible or, moving and shaking, as it were. And that's kind of it. I mean, I could go through the theories, but they don't matter. And I wonder if in the next election we can actually get, when I look at what Scott Pressler is doing in Pennsylvania, registering hundreds of thousands of voters, it shows me what's possible. So, yeah, when I called it a ghost, I mean, it died, and there's something there that really doesn't get much done.
Well, they do raise a lot of money for out-of-state candidates. That's been just kind of the accepted role for a long time, even if it's not talked about a whole lot. You know, there are more, I can't remember the figure, but I believe that there are more Republican donors in California than anywhere else. So their money isn't going to change the state. It's going to affect races outside the state. So, one question I've been asking consultants is, how could that any affect California? There haven't ever been, that I recall, any real organized voter registration, get out the vote type of ground games here.
I didn't even know that. So I need to rethink my analogy, because that's even worse. I mean, that's reminiscent of like a Spanish viceroy collecting tributes and sending it back. That's more insane than what I used to just think they were dysfunctional and not getting it done. But instead they're taking our resources and sprinkling them out onto other states and national races. That's actually heartbreaking.
You've been working on a campaign. What's that been like?
I'm working on the race, California Senate race in District 11, and it's Yvette Corcoran versus Scott Wiener. It's been incredibly encouraging, actually. I think that there is a much larger group of people who are, citizens first. I'm coordinating, I do communications, but also volunteering and donations. And I'll tell you what, one Democrat is worth 100 Republicans. They're so good at community organizing. They're so ready to ask people for money. I mean, I'm looking at these precinct walking. They're all Democrats. Most of the time, nothing against conservatives. So we're seeing this principles over party in San Francisco, which is amazing. And there is mobilization in this race. Yvette and I were just talking today. We were surprised to find out that California's Parents Union is a not too large little political group in California, and they sent out 150,000 mailers for Yvette in District 11. We didn't know that. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's just been surprises every day. She's getting endorsements from groups who said, hey, we're not going to support you, you can't win. And then they come back a week later and they're like, no, we're going to support you. So, Susanna, you and I actually were talking to a journalist in San Francisco. You can decide who say she is. She didn't say it was off on background, but she thinks Yvette might win. And this is Nancy Pelosi's district. So I think that just like in 2016, the conservative media is pretty much is dead in the state of California in terms of like a holistic shot. In my mind, it's just not well organized. I don't know if they're doing great stuff. They're actually producing great news, but it's not easily accessible. Because I feel like if you're not using X, you don't know what's going on in the world personally.
Right. Right. No, it's so true. Increasingly, it's so funny because not long ago when Elon Musk bought it, there were so many prophecies of how it was dying. I mean, I can't even count how many people prognosticated that he's going to, he let go so many workers and he was going to put it into a death spiral. And it's kind of become, unfortunately, I've become more addicted to it, but it's just, there's just so many more citizen journalists coming out and just so much more. I guess it's a factor of the, of raising, lifting the censorship but there's just so much more interesting stuff. I mean, there's a lot more crazy stuff too. I have a pretty good filter, I think. So I don't see a lot of what other people complain about, other than, you know, bots running wild in the comment sections and so forth. But
well, for events campaign, it's totally grassroots, and I'm helping with her X account. She's getting a million views a week. She's had individual posts that have gotten 600,000 views, many with 200,000, and this is a race where it's totally David and Goliath. I think that is so important. On Instagram, total views are probably 1,000 a week. So he's also democratizing media for candidates, for creators, for individuals. What I haven't seen is a way for someone like you to be more easily accessible, but maybe everyone's stepping up, you know, like Yvette.
I just hate tweeting, to be honest. That's on me. I mean, I think you do have to have a strategy, and if you want to be really relevant on that platform, you have to work at it, and I haven't done that.
Well, Warren Buffett has someone send his tweets. So does Donald Trump. I mean, actually, he might be typing.
He used to be typing. I don't know if he still is. I can't really. His tweets have lost some of their earthiness.
I listened to the Mark Cuban All In Pod interview, and they were talking in great detail about how he doesn't use email. His assistant prints out all of the emails, like, on a piece of paper.
Who doesn't use email?
That Donald Trump. He has someone print out an email. He writes this communication by hand, and then they like scan it, and the email is a PDF file with his response.
That's so funny.
But maybe we need to do that for you.
Probably.
That's what we need.
Have you been feeling any? I mean, you're kind of new to California politics. Have you been feeling any shift? I mean, and we'll backtrack a little bit, because even though I'm from here, I got my start covering California politics in Sacramento, covering policy. And in that world, you know, Republicans don't really exist. Nothing really exists except, you know, the 1,000 bills that the 1,000 laws that our policymakers, because they have nothing else to do but turn all the dials on regulations even tighter, pass every year, and kind of no global thought of whether this is good, whether the state is better, no thought of whether Gavin Newsom, just multiplying, staggeringly multiplying the state budget with no obvious betterments for the state. You know, we pay, I think, double what we pay out, double in services and government programs than we did a decade ago. No obvious improvements to anything. And no one questions that. It's just like, oh, who's going to get the money? Who's, you know, what's going to get cut? Can he cut? You know, that's the politics in our political reporting. You know, that's how everyone views things. And there's no room for any kind of wholesale, even consideration that Republicans mean much, other than the occasional criticism that they'll air for what Democrats are doing in Sacramento. But I feel like there's some shifting energy. There are a few state assembly races, like Denise Aguilar is one. She's in the Central Valley. She's not your stereotypical Republican.
Former gang member,
term parents' rights activist. And then you have, you know, longtime liberals from the heart of progressivism, like Nicole Shanahan. I think she's a big funder of defund the police and some of the soft on crime measures back in the day. And now she is, you know, I don't think she's changing her politics completely, but she sounds conservative.
She sounds like a Reagan conservative is what she sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. So, what's your sense? Is this a groundswell of change, do you think?
Well, I think that first we have to look at what Sacramento is a lagging indicator. It is not pointing towards what will be, but what is. With the exception of a race like Denise and maybe Yvette, and other races too, like Scott Baugh, there are sort of upstarts who are getting traction. But I think the leading indicators are that for the last 20 years, we've watched religious institutions, universities, the medical world, all these institutions fall apart at the seams. And today I saw a new ad campaign. I don't know who's funding it, but it's I'm gay, not retarded. And it's all of these lesbian and gay individuals who are voting for Donald Trump. And what that means is they've said, we don't care about the Democrat Party. We don't trust them. We don't think they're right. And there is definitely an institutional break where lifelong Democrats in California are saying, the uniparty is not, you know, these politicians who are voting for crime and, not having very expensive gasoline, not being able to build homes, you know, the madness we're seeing, the anti-parental rights stuff, it's not popular. Democrats don't want it. So I think there is a strong movement for people to do two things, to leave the Democrat Party, and then also not to so much join the Republican Party as they are saying, we are pushing back on this whole uniparty Marxist insanity, and I guess we're rebels. Because when you talk to people who are, you know, in the Lexit, Latinos leaving the Democrat Party, or Democrats who are saying, you know, again, their words, not mine, I'm gay, not retarded, is they're saying, I don't trust Democrats anymore. And that's a huge shift in my mind.
Well, and then the unions, the Teamsters Union didn't endorse anyone because of the overwhelming number of members who like Trump. And I guess they couldn't endorse Trump, but they just did a non-endorsement. And has Trump won union vote, union endorsements?
I know that there's even some, I saw some reporting that on a actual, like, per capita basis, you had something like 65 or 70% of union voters are actually going to vote for Donald Trump in specific unions. I don't know that he's gotten actual endorsements, but they did have someone speak at the RNC, like one of the Teamsters union's leaders. So there is that change there. I don't think that that's true at all in California, where the two unions it's the Teamsters union, which is so enormous. And then there's medical unions, like nurses unions and stuff. They just make too much money in Sacramento. The grift is so good that we're years away from that breaking.
Well, the single party power in California is driven by unions. I mean, that was kind of the result of letting public sector unions lobby. That was kind of the end. And, you know, from what I've seen, unions drive, they're the single most driver of policy as well as elections, who wins elections. When the unions really want someone out of a seat, they will almost certainly oust them or prevent them from winning.
And circling back to your comment about changes, like what I have observed in making calls, just talking to different current conservatives who are currently in office, my sense is that they've just gotten good at good at losing in my mind. As an outsider, I'm kind of by nature a bit of an upstart. I'm like, let's look at this creatively. You know, they're not campaigning for any of these candidates that we're talking about. They're not fundraising for any of them. There's a white flag energy of, it's almost like someone is getting kicked and they're getting beaten up by a gang of people and they curl up in a ball to just try to not get injured. That's my sense. from currently elected conservative officials, and we can't get more seats with that. Like, we need them campaigning up and down California to get more seats, because right now this like supermajority is steering us into the ocean.
So we're going to break again for messages from our sponsors. We'll be right back. I do see a caller coming in. Stay there. We will pick up your call as soon as we are back. Stay with us. It's Susanna Luthi with Free Talk California, speaking with Morna Desmond. Thanks.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Susan Lee, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks kicking off a new trading week lower amid interest rate uncertainty, rising bond yields, and Middle East tensions. Third quarter earnings season kicks off this week with beverage and snack giant PepsiCo reporting on Tuesday. Most of the S&P 500 sectors finish lower, with tech among the biggest decliners, while energy gained. Shares of property and casualty insurers like Allstate and Travelers are coming under pressure as Hurricane Milton gains speed. Shares of Pfizer rose over 2% after the Wall Street Journal reported that activist investor Starboard Value has taken a roughly $1 billion stake in the pharma giant. The Dow winners, Chevron, IBM, and Caterpillar. The Dow decliners, Amazon, Microsoft, and United Health Group. The Dow falling 399 points. The NASDAQ lower by 214. S&P 500 down 55. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Hi, Donald Trump Jr. here. I never thought I'd see price fixing as a campaign promise. What's next? Is your 401k or IRA on the left's to-do list? This is why you need to act now and protect your nest egg. I believe gold is the answer. To find out more, get a free info kit from Birch Gold by texting the word SHELTER to the number 989898. Act now to secure your financial future. Text SHELTER to the number 989898 for your free info kit from Birch Gold.
Paid for by Birch Gold Group.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Driven to be the best.
The veteran-owned Ted Miles Motors in Atascadero.
The cars you want, the people you like.
Serving you for 49 consecutive years.
Just plain good deals without the hype.
Ted Miles Motors, same location since 1975.
Selling cars the way it should be done. And giving you service that's second to none.
Driven to be the best.
Ted Miles Motors, in business for 49 years, has sold over 13,000 vehicles and is the longest established used car dealer in San Luis Obispo County. So whether buying or selling a car, truck, van, SUV, motorhome, or classic car, visit their easy-to-navigate website, TedMilesMotors.com, or their showroom, 7380 El Camino Real in Atascadero, next to Farrell's Auto Repair.
Driven to be the best!
Ted Miles Motors, Atascadero.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. We are going to take a caller. Welcome, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I understand in California we have the opportunity to get rid of a very powerful Democrat in the Senate, which would be Adam Schiff. And I'm just curious if we're working on that campaign.
Morna, are you working on that campaign at all?
I'm not working.
Personally, just is anybody actually working at supporting Steve Garvey?
It's a quiet campaign. Mostly probably because the money levels versus Schiff's money is there's a big discrepancy. Schiff has a lot of money. I do know that Garvey just released his first ad of the entire cycle, the entire race, and it was a Spanish language ad. Public polling has not been really has not been great for Garvey, but there's also the question of whether that's, you know, that's accurate. Yeah.
Well, we're in a bad spot, and I hope you guys understand this is the calculated takedown of America we're witnessing, and hope everybody's taking notes. But, yeah, I'm surprised we're not all in line with trying to get this guy's shift out of the Senate. Boy, he's been such an evil person.
Have you seen any work locally of any people on the ground canvassing votes for Garvey?
I know, and I live in L.A. I haven't seen anything. You know, I don't know. We could have a sleeping giant situation. I do feel like we're going to have some November surprises because people, what I'm seeing in San Francisco, that's where Yvette's running, is I'm shocked at the number of lifelong Democrats who are furious and do not feel like the uniparty represents their values. So we could see that in LA, certainly. But the thing is, we have a lot of money in California. We're just so, the conservatives are so disorganized. The churches are disorganized. They're not politically mobilized the way they were in different moments in time. And the different ethnic groups are not organized. In San Francisco, it's interesting. There's not so many Latinos. It's like maybe it's less than 10%. But there's a 15% of District 11 are very organized Chinese-speaking. They speaking Chinese at home. We're talking like very... And they are suddenly... Some of them endorsed his, or Scott Wiener, who's a very, very far, far left radical, but they seem to regret it. So my point is there are groups like the Chinese Americans in San Francisco who are kind of turning red, and they could be part of that upset, but we're just not well organized. But I'm optimistic. You know, if we can get Susanna on X, anything can happen.
Well... There's also, I mean, I'm a reporter, not a political activist, so there's a limit to what I'm not a big promoter of my own work, I guess. So that's the biggest my biggest barrier. But
I do, the media landscape in California is so it's not purple, right? And it's this. It's not even the fog of war in the sense that they're not speaking untruths right now in California. I can't point to anything where I see, oh, I should say in San Francisco, they're still saying crime is down as of like last week. It seems like they've dropped that. And I know they just started doing like RV sweeps and they're doing different sort of election cycle superficial moves. But I just think we really need to get organized. And for me, you know, I was with my parents, God bless them, and they're wringing their hands about Democrats, and they didn't know the propositions. They didn't know who they were exactly going to vote for. So I think we need to individually and accountability in the vein of the yeoman farmer. We need to get every single conservative person needs to be a super informed voter, and then they can get mobilized. But blaming the Democrats, blaming the media, let's start with getting everybody informed and registered to vote.
I think Prop 36 is Prop 36 is a good example of grassroots mobilization that worked and a campaign that worked. Obviously, it's not election day yet. We don't know the results, but it's polling really well. And even Newsom seems worried about it. The opponents are now putting a lot of money in and running ads against it. Did you kind of observe what they did? It was a group of DAs were kind of the driving force. Law enforcement was the big driving force behind Prop 36. They really overdid. They had a very clean and smooth process to get it on the ballot in the first place. There's no question of whether it would get on the ballot. How do you think
that? They had $15 million from Walmart, Macy's, probably not Macy's. Macy's still in business, but maybe it was Macy's actually. It was, they had big money behind it. I think they may have had $17 million. You really need about $6 million to get all those ballots collected. And so that's what it was. There was an alignment of interest between large corporations with deep pockets and, you know, earnest Law and Order DAs, and so the stars aligned in our favor, and it's called Prop 36.
Yeah. Well, it's
question is, what I don't know is, I'm actually going to go grab it. I was going to say, I don't know, you know, Rob Bonta has a way of describing things. Prop 47 was a safer communities ballot initiative that made all of our communities less safe. I'm going to look it up right now. I'm curious how Prop 36 is described, because if it says, you know, a discrimination, like incarceration bill, I'm actually looking it up.
I'm guessing that's a good point. I haven't read the latest language. I'm guessing it's probably pretty neutral, because I think we would have heard about it if it weren't his language on the proposed ballot initiative, which make the ballot, on parental rights and stopping gender surgeries and drugs for kids. That one was certainly phrased in a very biased way. I think that was indisputable. And
maybe that on arrival. I don't know.
Right. Well, the last couple minutes, I do want to pivot a little bit to the presidential election, because it really seems to be going a whole new direction. We do have a caller coming in. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi, Susanna. I have my ballot right in front of me, and I have Proposition 36. And the wording is such that it's titled, allows felony charges and increases sentences for certain drug and theft crimes, and it's an initiative statute. So it allows felony charges for possessing certain drugs and for theft under $950. If the defendant has two prior drug or theft convictions. Now, here's the interesting part, is the fiscal impact. So on all of the other propositions, most of the other propositions, they're very concerned, they're not concerned about spending money. But here, for this one, fiscal impact, state criminal justice costs likely ranging from several tens of millions of dollars to the low hundreds of millions of dollars annually. Local criminal justice costs likely in the tens of millions of dollars annually. So now they're concerned about costs.
And what's interesting is when Prop 47 passed, Kamala Harris was the DA at the time in charge of the wording on the ballot. She also focused on the savings that Prop 47 repealing so many
by not incarcerating criminals, we're going to save money.
Yep.
I just want to say I love your callers, and I was looking at this, and I was like, man, she's doing a great job reading this and like pointing out all the interesting stuff. I also think that it's actually pretty fair, although the fiscal thing is so ironic, because right, it'll be like $5 billion to build a playground, and they don't even list the fiscal impact, but it's kind of interesting. The supporters here are Crime Victim Unit of California, California District Attorney Association, Family Business Association of California. What I find interesting is the opponents are like Diana Becton, never heard of. Oh, she's the district attorney for Contra Costa County, and crime survivors.
She's a George Soros backed district attorney, very, very left.
Well, and then there's another group, Crime Victims for Safety and Justice. I've never heard of them, and I just think
that's also a Soros-connected funding group, and it's basically the group that organized to put funding into opposing it, and they're funding the ads against it. And what's interesting about them is, yes, they helped pass it, and I just looked recently, and two of the big donors to that fund are the California's Teachers Union, SEIU, as well as the big donors. And with that, we are out of time. That hour went by very quickly. Thanks to all of you who called in. That was really fun. Always feel free to call in and give your 2 cents. We love it. Thank you so much, Morna, for joining this week.
My pleasure.
And hopefully there's a lot more of this to come. In the meantime, awesome. Be well, God bless, and everyone take care of yourselves and your families this week. Take care.
Thanks, Susanna.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.